the profoundest and the most unfathomable elements of the Christian revelation, the Christian message, lie in the great truth of the Incarnation.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Our subject is the Great Deliverance, and it's based on these two very powerful verses in Hebrews, the second chapter, verses 14 to 15. It goes without saying, perhaps, that Jesus Christ is the great deliverer. Jesus Christ is the great emancipator. Jesus Christ is the one who sets us free from all the ugly things that would seek to destroy our soul in this life and in the life to come. And the religion of Jesus, if I can use that term, I know it's an elastic term, but if I can use that term, Jesus is the one who rescues men from the evil and the hopeless situation in which they find themselves. Jesus is the one who breaks the chains which bind a man to the past. And he is the one who gives to a man power which enables him to meet the future. And so we read in the pages of the scripture, "You shall call his name Jesus." Why shall we call his name Jesus? "You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." He shall save his people. That's a word of rescue. It's a word of emancipation. It's a word of liberation and of deliverance. There's something wonderfully powerful about that word, save, about that concept, salvation, about that personality we call a Savior. "You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." We're taught in the scripture, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost, Luke 19 and verse 10. We read from the pen of the Apostle John that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior, the great deliverer, the great emancipator. He sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, 1 John 4 and verse 14. That rescue, of which Jesus Christ is the source and the personification, that rescue, that deliverance, that emancipation, which is the great theme of the Scripture, is beautifully portrayed for us in Hebrews chapter 2 in verses 14 and 15. And they provide for us, those two verses provide for us, a very precise flow of thought regarding Christ's redemptive ministry. Every one of us listening over the radio should have hearts overflowing with gratitude for all that Jesus Christ has done for us and done in us by rescuing us from the ugly, contaminating pollutants of this world. Every one of us should have hearts overflowing with a spirit of gratitude for all that Jesus Christ has done in our behalf, in rescuing our souls, delivering us from those things that would ruin us in this life and in the life to come. Now, I'd like you to notice with me, if you have your Bibles, I hope you haven't opened to this section here, Hebrews, the second chapter, verses 14 to 15. I would like you to notice with me for the next few moments, three steps that seem to be unfolded right here in this passage, three steps that are essential to our being rescued, three logical and necessary steps in the unfolding of the redemptive process of our Lord Jesus Christ, three steps that are essential to our being rescued. I see them unfolded for us here in Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 15. What do you see there? The first thing I see is step number one, incarnation. He accepted flesh. The Bible says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same." I see incarnation. He accepted flesh. The second thing I see is propitiation. He accosted Satan through his death. We'll define propitiation in a moment. The third thing that I see in the latter part of that section, verse 15, is emancipation. He accomplished redemption. Propitiation, the Bible says, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Propitiation is through his propitiatory death he delivers us from the power of Satan. And then emancipation, he might deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Three steps essential to our being rescued: incarnation, propitiation, his death, emancipation. We are delivered from the entangling and contaminating influence of Satan and of sin. Now let's look at these for just a moment. The first, as I see it here in Hebrews, the second chapter in verse 14, is this issue of incarnation, where we're taught that he accepted flesh. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Many people find certain elements of the gospel message hard to believe or to accept. I'm sure you've discovered that in your witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. They find certain elements of the gospel message hard to believe or to accept. For some, it is the atonement. How can we believe, some would ask, that the death of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, a Jewish carpenter, expiring on a Roman cross, how can we believe that such an act would put away an entire world's sin? For some people, the problem is the atonement. For some, it's the virgin birth. How, we are asked, can one possibly believe in such a biological anomaly, such a biological irregularity, something which violates the basic biological laws that seem to be built into the universe? It seems so incredible. How can we believe it? For some, that's a problem. For some, it's the gospel miracles. You read through the pages of the gospels, you see the mighty demonstrations of power exuding from the life and the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, those miracles which were a dramatization of his claims to be the Messiah, to be God in the flesh, his walking on the water, his feeding of the 5,000, his raising of the dead. Surely stories like that, we are told by some, are quite incredible. They're certainly not for you and me, are they? For some, it is the resurrection itself. Explaining away the empty tomb is a very difficult project, and as far as I'm concerned, it's impossible to explain it away. Explaining away the empty tomb is a difficult project. But surely, some would have us to believe, surely the difficulty of believing that Jesus emerged from that tomb into endless or unending life is an even greater difficulty. But in point of fact, the real difficulty, the supreme mystery, does not lie here at all in any of these things that I've just mentioned. The real mystery, the real problem, does not lie in the Good Friday message of the atonement, nor does it lie in the Easter message of the resurrection, but it lies instead in the Christmas message of the incarnation. He also himself likewise took part of the same. Jesus Christ, God, assumed flesh and blood. There's the mystery. God became a man. The Son of God became the Son of Man. The profoundest and the most unfathomable elements of the Christian revelation, the Christian message, lie in the great truth of the incarnation, when God was wrapped all around with human flesh. That's what the incarnation is. God invaded our planet in the personality of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and in invading our planet, God was wrapped all around with human flesh. There is the profoundest and most unfathomable depths of the Christian revelation. God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ. And once the incarnation is grasped and understood and believed, when we understand who Jesus Christ is, then all of the other problems dissipate. All of the other problems are dissolved. If Jesus of Nazareth was the same person as the eternal Word, if Jesus of Nazareth was the Father's sole, exclusive, only agent in the creative process, as John chapter 1 and Colossians chapter 1 and Hebrews chapter 1 teaches, if Jesus of Nazareth was these things, this kind of a personality, then it is no wonder, it is no wonder at all to us that fresh acts of creative power marked his coming into the world. We should expect a virgin birth. We should expect something unique and wonderful and powerful, introducing God into the mainstream of humanity in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is no wonder that fresh acts of creative power should accompany the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. It is no wonder that continuing acts of omnipotent power should mark his living in the world. We should expect the miraculous. We should expect the Son of God to walk in the water and to raise the dead and to feed 5,000 and to do a host of other things. We should expect it. And it is no wonder that ultimate acts of divine power should mark his exiting, not only his coming into the world, his living in the world, but his departing from the world. We should expect the resurrection. and we should expect the mighty and the powerful ascension back into the presence of God. The mystery is not that he should be raised from the dead. The mystery is that God immortal, the immortal God, God in the flesh, should have died at all. And having died, it's no mystery that he should be raised from the dead. And if he really did die, if he really did taste of death, and he most certainly did, it is not strange that such a death should have saving significance for every generation of fallen humanity. The death of Jesus Christ, because of who he is, God in the flesh, God wrapped all around with human flesh, the death of Jesus Christ has saving significance for every generation. And every person who understands that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is God in the flesh and places faith in that finished work of Christ in his behalf can experience the dynamic power of the living God in his soul and his spirit today. The carpenter of Nazareth, expiring on a Roman cross, was the Father's eternal Son, and his death has infinite efficacy for every generation of people, for all who will place their faith in him. Now that's the first step in the whole redemptive process. That's the first step in the rescue operation for humanity. God became flesh, incarnation. He accepted flesh. He did that for you. It's an act of unbelievable condescension, unbelievable humility, unbelievable love. It's an act of that nature for you and for me, incarnation. Now the second step is in the latter part of verse 14, and it's what I call, and I'm borrowing a biblical term here, it's a term that occurs in the Bible, propitiation. It's a theological term. It occurs in Romans, the third chapter. It occurs in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, on a couple of occasions. It occurs in 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 2 of that little letter, propitiation, by which he accosted Satan. What is propitiation? I think in a sentence, to reduce it to a very simple definition, propitiation is satisfaction of a debt by sacrificial investment. Did you follow that? Propitiation is satisfaction of a debt by sacrificial investment. We're the ones who owe the debt. We're the spiritual renegades. We're the theological outlaws. We violated God's law. We've outraged his holiness. We've done injustice. We owe a debt to God. Jesus Christ, by his sacrificial death, satisfies that debt. He exhausts the penalty. He pays it for us. The wrath of God falls upon him instead of upon us. That's propitiation. And that's what he's talking about in the latter part of verse 14. In order that through death, through his propitiatory death, his satisfying death, that death which satisfies the debt we owe as a result of his sacrificial investment, in order that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. That's the second step in the redemptive process.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
Jesus Christ transformed the cross from a scaffold of execution into a triumphant throne.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.